All right, open your Bibles up. 1 Peter chapter 1. Of course, as many of you know, my name is Paul, and I get it all the time. Also, you're named after the Paul of the Bible, the Paul that fell, the Paul. No. I'm named after my grandfather and my father. I mostly identify with Peter. Why? Because Peter had a big mouth and a bad temper and was always putting his big foot in his big mouth. And he had to learn constantly God's way. I love Peter. And I love reading what he has to write because he doesn't pull back. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He doesn't make it glossy for the world. He says what it is, how it is. And we read his words in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in the third verse. Praise God for a living hope. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ in His great mercy. He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief, all kinds of grief, in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. God add His blessings to this. Let us pray. Father, set us aside for this moment. Bring us out from the world and put us in the Holy Spirit, that we don't worry about the labors outside or what's waiting for us at the door, that we dwell right here, right now, and that we grow from these words that are yours, not mine, and we may glean from them and have a closer walk, be more ready to serve as we go back out. In this we pray, and we give you honor and glory, and all of God's children said, amen. Been a tough past week for me. It's been one that I don't care to repeat. I'm sure I'll repeat similar variances of it. But it's been a hard week this past week. I feel like everything I have done, everything I have touched, everything I have been going through is all for naught. But there's an English word. I love saying that. You listen to the joys and concerns. Even last week, it's been a tough week for you all. I know there's a lot out there. I know there's a lot that's heavy on your heart. I know there's a lot that's pushing down on you. So I'm going to ask you. I know just a couple minutes ago we've already done this, but I want to hear about you. How was your week? Was it hard? Was it hard? Yes, answer me. I feel like I'm talking to my children. You're free to talk to me.
It was a terrible week for me.
Amen. Amen. Who else had a bad week? It was hard. And you find yourself in the midst of all that going, what? Why? I don't get this. I don't understand why I had a week I had. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to walk on rose petals. That never happens. Never happens. It's been a hard week. I'm asking you to stop for a moment. I'm not asking you to think about your brother's, uncle's, sister's, girlfriend's, cousin. I'm asking you to think about you just for this moment. I'm giving you permission to be you, to think about you for this moment and dwell on the fact that you had a rough week. Some things happened. It's okay. You don't have to constantly be thinking about everybody else. Sometimes it's within here. We got a favorite television show around our house called How It's Made. Yes, I stole the title from that for this sermon, and I'm sure I'll get sued, but that's all right. It's worth it. It is a great program. I love it. It tells how things are made. How boots are made. Fireman's boots one time. How wooden airplane propellers are made. How magic markers are made. One of the most interesting ones I found was how pencils are made today. I had to keep rewinding that. It's not what you think. They talk about how different things are made, how cookies are made, mass-produced cookies. I had a good time with that one. I was taking notes. It talked about how engines were made. You see, when that program is on, if you start talking to me in the middle of that program, you're liable to come to harm. Because it's a fascinating thing. It talks about how things are made. And as I was dwelling on where we're going this Sunday, we went to a blacksmith shop yesterday. As you well know, I fancy myself a budding young blacksmith. I mean, I've got the build for it. See, blacksmiths are big and fat, right? I just don't have the beard yet. Because I'm married. If I wasn't, I'd probably have that beer down here. But we went to a blacksmith shop yesterday, and I watched it, because it is ultimately one of the more fascinating things to watch. And if you think God doesn't take part in a sermon, if you think God doesn't take part in what you're thinking about, let me show you something. You saw me carry it in. Know what that is? No, that's not my dinner fork. Could be. Out of a clear blue sky. Don't talk to anybody. Glenn brought this fork in. It's a flesh fork. If you've butchered, you know what this is. It's for catching it out of the pot and laying it out. It's handmade. You're welcome to look at it. It's been hammered out. It's been flanged over. It's been split on a Hardy. See, I know these words. It was made by a person taking time to beat this thing out of raw metal into a useful piece of equipment. And Glenn brought it in just simply because he found it this week and wanted it put out in the cabinet. It was made by a Petrie of this church, specifically for this church, for when they butchered years ago. This is it. You can see where it starts out as a square shank. And it was beat into a taper this way and flanged and drilled and pinned into what I think is a piece of poplar wood. That was hand rubbed out and carved for this specific use. You can see where they beat the taper and hooked it to this. This is a single piece. This is a single piece. And they've all been forge welded for a purpose. Created in the heat of fire for work. I'm reminded of a story that, and as a pastor, I'm allowed to have this prerogative. In Malachi verse 3, I'm sorry, chapter 3 verse 2, it says, "But who can endure the day of his coming?" Malachi talking. "Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver." God's a blacksmith. Or a goldsmith. Or a silversmith. I'm reminded of a story that I'm going to tell. And I'm sure I've told it in here again. But see, that's a pastor's prerogative to retell the same story with a new meaning. And some of you may or may not have heard this. And frankly, I'm not worried that much. You see, I heard an old story about a young pastor who, hired by a church, got up and preached one Sunday. And everybody's like, "Oh man, that was good stuff." Shook his hand on the way out the door. Next Sunday, he got up and preached the same exact sermon. People were a little less enthusiastic. After the fourth Sunday of preaching the same sermon, they got mad and went to the bishop or the head of the district or whatever, and they said, "This man keeps preaching the same sermon every Sunday," and a whole bunch of them there. And the district executive looked at him for a minute and said, "Well, what was his sermon about?" "Well, the district executive said, go back and see if he preaches it next Sunday, and this time listen." You see, these women had just read this verse, Malachi, in a Bible study group. And they wanted to come to know what it was all about. "He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver." And it puzzled them, and they wondered what they could learn about the character and the nature of God. So one of them offered to find out about the process of refining silver and come back to the next Bible study. And she phoned a silversmith, made an appointment, and went to watch him work. She never said nothing about why she was there or any other thing other than she had an extreme curiosity. And so she began to watch as the silversmith took a piece of fire, set it in, and heated it up. And he explained to her the following. He said, "You know what? We've got to hold that silver right in the middle of the hottest part of the fire. That's where the flames are the hottest. Why? Because that's how the impurities get burnt out." The woman thought about it. God holding us where the flames are the hottest, holding us. She remembered the verse that says, "He sits as a refiner and purifier of silver." So she asked the silversmith if it's true that he has to sit by the fire the whole time the silver is being refined. And he said, "Yes." He said, "Not only does he have to sit there, pay attention. Not only does he have to sit there, but he's got to keep his eye on that piece of silver the entire time. To see if it's in there too long, it'll be destroyed." Destroyed. The woman was silent for a moment, and then she asked, "How do you know when that silver is fully refined?" He said, "Oh, that's simple." He said, "When I can see my face in it. When I can see my image in that silver." I think about what I went through this week. I think about what you may have gone through this week. I don't know. And I'm sure the fire was hot. In preparations of this, I read that we're really not trialed or tested today. There was some big-headed theological thinker out there with a whole bunch of letters behind the end of his name saying that in today's world, that verse doesn't really apply because what we feel on a daily basis is not a trial or a test, it's more of an annoyance. You're wrong! Does anybody out here think it's annoying when you lock your keys in the car? No, you want to get a brick and smash the window out. That's not annoying. That's a test. I didn't do that. I have an extra key hidden on all my vehicles because I have done that. Does anybody think it's annoying when your family and friends around you are letting you down? That's not an annoyance. That's a trial. Does anybody think it's an annoyance when you lose something that you love? That's a trial. That's a test. When you don't have enough money to pay the bills, when everybody seems to be making you mad, when everything around you seems to be going wrong, I fixed something on the washing machine, and in the process of doing it, I broke something else. That was more than annoying. And that's what we're being told. That's what is being said. God sits as a refiner. He has to put you in the heat. Otherwise, you remain dirty. I'm watching that guy yesterday at that blacksmith shop. And he is really good. And he is folding metal. Now, if you don't know what folding metal is, I'm not going to put you to sleep by boring you to tears over it. But it is a really cool process. If you want to learn more about it, I'll talk to you any old time. But every time he would just get ready to finish folding the metal to make the metal thicker and stronger, in and of itself, he would take a wire brush and clean all the carbon away.
And he spun around to one of the young men, and he said, "That keeps the metal clean when it's folded down on itself." And he put her right back in that furnace and brought her out red hot and began to beat on it. And little by little, these clumps of metal began to shape out to what he was making. He was going to make a knife, but you could see how it started from a piece of a block and began to shape every time folded, every time cleaned, every time put back in the fire for the next shaping. That's what I submit to you today. That's what I have to remind myself. That I am being tested constantly. Not by him. He's who holds me. By the world. He holds me in that fire to be cleaned up. He reminds me that regardless of whatever else is going on around here, what did Peter say? What have we got in heaven? It won't what? It won't perish. It won't spoil. It won't go away. It's set off for you in heaven waiting. That is yours by mercy, by grace, by salvation. And after you go through this time, what do you get? Refined. And how do we know? When God can see him in us. That's what I submit to you. When you go back to that scripture, you see it again. That can never perish, spoil, or fade. The person that wrote this actually decided they would go on and take this little story and check it for truth. And so they went to silversmithing and they got a hold of a man named Fred Zwig, who I looked up, and he is actually a world-renowned silversmith. And he was asked if there was any untruth to this story during the silversmithing parts. And Fred Zwig said, "I am familiar with that verse from Malachi and the similarities of actual refining and the chapter and verse from the Bible are accurate. It is important not to overheat the silver when refined in this process, and clean the molten silver will shine with a mirror-like quality when it's ready to pour. The high temperatures do not violate the impurities and form on the surface as dross. It is important to be attentive to the molten metal, as it does no good to overheat it. It may not destroy the silver, but silver has an affinity for absorbing oxygen and can make this unworkable." Brothers and sisters, we have an affinity for observing what the world around us says. If it tells us we're worthless, you'll start to think that. I don't think I'm worthless, except when I break the washing machine trying to fix it. You're not. In this heat, in this moment, this is what happened. You're being prepared even more for your salvation. Regardless of what is breaking around you, regardless of what is falling apart around you, you're being made into something that will work. You can't see it. When that man started hammering away on that metal, I had no idea what he was making. It was clumps of metal, but to him, he knew. When the man made this fork, somebody could have walked in to the blacksmith shop and watched him beating right here, not seeing that this was coming out. Could have seen him splitting the edge of this taper and not understood that that was where the handle was going to go. We don't need to worry about what's on the other end of us. We need to know that God is refining us all the time. He is taking us through our trials and our tribulations so that we may be better, strongly and able to serve what purpose he has for us. And believe you me, he does. A little girl wanted to climb mountains with her brother. Her brother was much older and always climbing mountains. And she always thought that it was something that she wanted to do, but she was still too little. And she kept pestering him until finally one day he fetched her out and they went on a mountain hike. And after a little while, in the steep path, which was rough, she drew back and said, I can't walk any further like this. There isn't a smooth spot anywhere. It's all bumpy and stony every step I take. Yes,
her brother said to her, "Yes, it is. But how else would we ever climb to the top if it wasn't? The stones and the bumps are the steps that get us there." We get into situations. And we find ourselves saying, "Why?" We get into situations and we find ourselves asking that question that even I have asked. "Did you leave me?" I prayed this morning that you would give me a good day. Because yesterday, I don't think you heard me. Or the day before that. And the one before that. So today, God, let me have a good day. I'll tell you a true story. I'm praying that prayer as I do every morning on my way to work. "Father, today, I have a standard prayer. Let me have a good day. Bless those who come into my touch. Bless those at work. And let me be who you want me to be. And show me the wisdom of the way. In Jesus' name, amen." Bam! I blew a tire right then. Guy that came to fix the tire had an extra sausage and egg sandwich. You understand it more if you look at the fact that in the fire is where we have to be. I'm sorry. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. And people who are going to make you mad are the people you think ought not to. Pray. Prep yourself up for the other end of it. Have yourself in that moment. Andrew Murray quoted in "Through the Mountains, Though the Mountains Shake." He quoted this from a book by Amy Carmichael. It says these four things. First, "He brought me here. It is by His will I am in this straight place. In the fact, I will rest. Next, He will keep me here in His love and give me grace to behave as His child. Then He will make the trial a blessing, teaching me the lessons He intends me to learn and working in me the grace He meant to bestow. And last, in His good time, He can bring me out again. How and when, He only knows. So let me say, I am here by God's appointment, in His keeping, under His training, for His time. I am being refined." How it's made? I'll tell you how it's made. It goes through that process. It takes something raw and unintelligible and turns it into something useful. Through whatever process it takes, sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's long and hard. Whenever, whatever He has given us, we rejoice in that moment. Hard to do? Yes. Is it easy to say, "Thank you, Father"? I read a story about a woman who had to find grace and had to find a moment to say thank you. She had been over at the neighbor's house. She was a mother of eight. And when she came home that sunny summer afternoon, she noticed that five of her children were being very quiet as she approached the house. There was no activity. It made her curious. "Hey, children, it would scare me to death." And as she peered through the screen door, she saw five of her youngest children huddled in a circle around the floor in the living room. And so she went in and she looked over their shoulders, and here they had a nest of baby skunks. And she went, "Kids, run!" Whereupon each child jumped up and ran, carrying a baby skunk with them. And you think you're having a bad day. He
sat by the fire of sevenfold heat as he watched by the precious ore. And closer he bent with a searching gaze as he heated it more and more. He knew he had ore that could stand the test, and he wanted to find his gold to mold as a crown for the king to wear, set with gems of price untold. So he laid our gold in the burning fire, though we fain he would have told him nay. And he watched the dross that we had not seen as it melted and passed away. And as the gold grew brighter and yet more bright, and our eyes were so dim with tears, we saw the fire, not the master's hand, and we questioned with anxious fear. Yet our gold shined out with a richer glow, as if mirrored a form above, that bent o'er the fire, though unseen by us, with a look of infinite love. Can we think that it pleases his loving heart to cause a moment of pain? But no, he saw through the present cross the bliss of eternal gain. And so he waited there with a watchful eye, with a love that is strong and sure, and his gold did not suffer a bit more heat than was needed to make it pure. We're being refined. I know you had a bad week. I know things went wrong, and I know things drug you under. It doesn't really matter, Peter tells us, because of this, because of him, because of what waits for us. As we're tested each and every day, we be strengthened each and every day. As those impurities burn away and we shine a little bit more, we can get forth this. I know things are pushing down, and I beg you to turn not away, but as Peter says, to draw closer in. Rely fully on God and on the promise of the cross through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, and I do say Father, you have given us many things. You've given us blessing. You've given us heartache. You've given us sorrow. You've given us joy. And in all those things, Father, all of them, you've watched us, never taking your eye off, never allowing the heat to get too much, never allowing us to come close to being destroyed. And so I submit to you, as I've heard, that I not be a clay pot. A clay pot that sits in the sun all day is still a clay pot. I prefer to be a vase that has been fired and finished. And so do my brothers and sisters. Lift them up in their walk, Father. Prepare them for what lies just outside that door. Now we know how it's made. It's made us from your loving care, from your watchful eye, to become what you would have us be. Bless us, Father, as we cry out to you every time we need you. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare to close out our sermon, our time here, if you have a particular need, the prayer bench is open. If you need me to pray with you, I stand ready. If not, come up here and pour it out. If you need strengthening in Christ, now is that time.
Please stand and turn to page 563.